I go to my job. It's early morning, sunny day, but there's still a fresh dew on the grass. I was behind a push mower. I went up a hill, turned to the right, and as soon as I planted my foot, I slipped. And my right foot slid underneath the lawnmower and got hit by the blade twice.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. The purpose of this show is to share stories of hardship and victory as an encouragement for those in the middle of their own hard thing. Because we know hardship produces perseverance, which produces character, which ultimately produces hope. Today's guest is Gunnar Regan. Gunnar is a professional CrossFit athlete and mindset coach in the Nashville, Tennessee area. He shares the story of a lawnmower accident his senior year of high school and the mindset shift that resulted afterward, which allowed him to say no to distractions and become excellent at what mattered. If you enjoy the show, please don't forget to subscribe and leave a review so more people can be encouraged by the stories we share. Now here's the conversation with Gunnar. All right, Gunnar Regan on the podcast. Dude, super excited to have you and welcome to the Do Hard Things podcast. Love to give people some context for who you are, but I like to let you do that. So the question I ask is, when people ask you what you do, how do you answer that question?
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. What do I do? I am an athlete. I'm a coach, I'm a mentor, I'm a learner, I'm a partner, I'm a son, all of these things. And this relates well. I'm a big proponent of mantras and journaling. And what I finish my journaling with is that I am Gunnar. So I'm all of these things, but most importantly, I'm myself. So, I hope that gives a little context to start off. I currently live in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm a high level CrossFit athlete and I run my own coaching business, called Animus Coach, where I work one-on-one with individuals and small groups on mindset training and, physical training as well.
Cool. So every time you journal, you finish with, I am Gunnar, or is it like when you're really in-depth journaling?
So my practice is daily before I go into the gym or before I go into a stressful situation, whether it's high stress or low stress, there's always something. I have a notebook in my car. I'll sit down before I go in or get out of the car and I write out a list of mantras that I want to emulate every day in my life. So I list all of these things that are valuable to who I want to be, who I'm already being, and want to continue growing on that. And then I remind myself at the end that I am all those things. I am Gunnar.
How did you come up with that on your own or did you take it from somebody else?
Using that I am Gunnar, that one came to me after a few years of practicing this before getting out of my car. So I'm in a place where I train with the best in the world and it's really easy to get caught up looking around, worrying about what other people are doing because they have, you know, a lot of credibility behind their practice and their name. However, I have to remind myself that I'm also there for that reason and that I've earned the right to be there. So believing in myself is where that practice came from, is just, I am Gunnar. Want to be strong with that.
Yeah. So that eliminates the comparison and just like, what was I yesterday? Now, what am I today? Where am I headed? Rather than how do I stack up against XYZ person in whatever context you're at?
Yeah, exactly. And it, for me, training, whether it's physically in the gym or it's training my mind by writing mantras and doing other practices, it's all about directing your effort in the right direction and knowing what that direction is. So if I can put energy into myself, I'm going to be better for others.
Yeah. Do you ever have people, because it sounds like you show up on a scene, some location, and you just sit in your car. Do you ever have people go, what's he doing?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. So before living in Nashville, I was in Tallahassee, Florida, and it was always just so humid and hot out, but I would just have the AC blasting. And I have this memory of sitting in my car, journaling, reading these mantras out loud, breathing after each one. And I would watch people walk by that were going into the same place I was going. And then they would ask what I was doing. And I'm a self-confident person. I know who I am, and I want to be really solid in that. And I would get the question, like, what are you doing in there? And I'd just be like, you know, this is how I center myself. This is my practice. I'm going to the gym, or I'm going into a place to coach. If I'm my best self, my fullest version of myself, then that passes off to other people around me. So that question, do I get people coming up to me and like, what is he doing? Absolutely. And I love the reaction that people go, oh, I should try that.
Totally. Yeah. So do you leave a little bit early and arrive a little early so you've got time to do it, or are you just casually a little bit late?
That's a good question. I'm working on being punctual.
Yeah.
The start time that I currently have at the gym is a rolling start with the people I'm training with. So it doesn't really matter. I know it's part of my routine, so it's been worked into my commute, if you will.
So, yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's a fair question.
Well, I mean, I think people are going to hear that and they're going to go, I should do that. And they're going to go, well, practically I have to have more time. Do I like leave early? Do I just start things later? You know, and cause the rub is in, oh no, I'm running late. I don't have time for this. And like, how do you stay committed to it? Are you just okay being late to things, or, you know, do you have to actually really plan ahead so that that works?
But yeah, I would recommend asking yourself why you're doing this practice.
Hmm.
So for me, it's a centering practice. It's a confirming practice in everything that I have done to this point in my life, right? Like I can look back in that journaling practice and go, okay, I have accomplished things. I can do it again.
Yeah.
Right? I can continue doing these difficult tasks. I can continue training really hard because I've already done it. And for the timing piece, if you have that understanding why you're doing it, you will make time. I like this, the idea of, if you don't have time to meditate for 5 minutes, meditate for 10. Double down on the things that are going to build you up. So yeah, if it's like, am I going to be late? Maybe that's okay for some time. However, you're going to start to realize like, this is important to me. I'm going to work it in and make it fit even better.
Yeah. You got to push through some of the obstacles if you want it to last. So you talked, you know, at the beginning, you know, I am these things, and it was like athlete, coach, and there are a few others that came after that. And then later on you said, you know, I'm a high level athlete, but I also coach. Like when you think about the way you spend your time and the energy and effort you put into things, is it athlete first, coach second, or are they even? How's your time broken out?
Again, a good question on, you know, where I spend my energy and where I invest my energy. And yeah. I've built my daily schedule, my daily life to allow me to compartmentalize. So when I go to the gym, I'm an athlete.
Yeah.
And that wasn't always the case. I used to work in a gym full-time coaching classes, and there was a lot of gray area where I would get pulled out, have to answer phones in the middle of a session, or, you know, greet someone coming off the street for the first time. And I realized that my energy was just going every every direction. It was getting pulled in places that I didn't want to go. So over the last 3.5 years, I've doubled down on, okay, what do I want to be right now? How present can I be in this activity? So if I'm training, my focus is always on training. If I leave the gym, likely I'm turning on the coach hat depending on the day. Or maybe it's I'm done with coaching and now I'm invested in my relationship and making sure that's being filled in the right way. Yeah. Spending energy where I am, be yeah. present in the place. Yeah.
Okay. So how many different people do you coach right now on a given like month?
A given month. Ooh. Week to week, I see anywhere from, let's say, 8 to 15 people a week. And the majority of that is one-on-one sessions. So whether that's I'm guiding someone through a training session, watching them remotely, and then doing some mindset work with them, or I'm doing all solo phone calls, working through, you know, habits and language and mantras, like I was touching on earlier, making sure that those are intact. So typically like 15 hours a week, that's working with someone, and then additionally preparing and programming outside yeah. of my training. Yep.
And that is that all mindset coaching? Is that all that you're coaching?
It's getting closer to that. I have a couple hours a week where I'm training people, doing physical training sessions with them remotely. And I've realized that the results from those training sessions are always greater when we implement the mindset piece. Mm. So it's one in the same.
Yeah. Yeah. So how long, like, is it an ongoing perpetual thing that somebody comes to you and says, hey, will you help me with my mindset? Or is it like, takes 2 months, I'm going to get it like fixed basically for you. And then I teach them to fish rather than give them a fish kind of deal. Right. So then they're good to go do that themselves.
You know, it's case by case. I have found really good success in say 3 months, 12 weeks or so with some individuals, and they leave full running and we accomplished a lot of milestones, and they then go out on their own and integrate that into their life. I've also worked with people for like over 5 years continuously, and it's really understanding what they need and asking that question, like we're having this conversation now, what is going to bring you the most value? Are you able to keep yourself accountable, or would you like my guidance? And we're going to continue to grow together. So it goes both ways.
Yeah. Yeah. So is a big part of it accountability?
Yes. I'd say accountability is a major factor. And for me, it's really meeting people where they are that allows them to make progress. Like I'm not coming in and telling people that they need to be somewhere. Right. It's really up to them. And so accountability comes into play of I'm going to show up and allow them to express their story, where they are, what they're battling with, and we'll be able to piece things together, move them really strong, because the foundation is there. That accountability then becomes, all right, we can always go back to these fundamental foundational skills, and we're going to continue building them, whether it's them choosing to go on their own or they want that accountability long term.
Yeah, totally. So look back, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years ago, did you think you were going to be an athlete at the level that you are? And did you think that you were going to be doing mindset coaching to the level that you are?
It's a good timing for this question. I actually had a conversation last weekend with someone that I coached 7 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And they're now a coach themselves. And Yes to all the questions. Yes, I believed I would be a high level athlete. I still believe I can achieve more, and I will. And to be a mindset coach, my approach to coaching, even though I started in a very like, we're teaching the X's and O's, you're going to do this reps, this number of sets. And I've always had an understanding, whether it's me intuitively knowing it or learning it from other great coaches in different sports, that you have control over everything that you want. So the mind has to be in play no matter what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had, so I can't remember how many weeks ago, maybe 5 or 6, Mark Divine. Have you heard Mark Divine?
Yeah, of course. Big fan of him for sure.
Yeah. So we had him on the podcast, and you know, he was talking a lot about mindset, and mindset to me is so fascinating because there are a lot of people who dismiss it, you know, as it's actually about your circumstances, and like, you can't control your circumstances. So mindset has only so much power. And then, you know, talking to people like yourself or Mark, it's like, no, set the circumstances aside. Like, you have, the circumstances will be dictated by your mindset, not the other way around. And I just, I love talking to people who think that way, because there's no victim mentality in that mindset, right? Like, you are the creator of where you're going. And the guest tomorrow is Steve Magnus, who wrote a book called Do Hard Things. And he was talking about the same thing. Like, his advice to people was, hey, no, you get to write your story. Mm-hmm. And so as you're coaching people, or even if maybe they're not your client, but you're talking to somebody about mindset, like, what's kind of like your one thing that you go, this is really what mindset is all about. Like, this is your one liner or your summary of the way that you consider this conversation and topic.
Mindset's a choice. And it's a series of choices. So I love language and understanding how we speak to ourselves, how we speak to others. Body language is in a factor in that. So you have a choice on how you communicate. It's really important that you build awareness on what you want to communicate. Whether that's, I am a victim of my circumstance, or am I something else, right? Like, touching on that, if someone's going to, you know, ask me what mindset is, it's being aware of your choices. And the choices are the language we use, because the way we relate to the world is through our own language.
Hmm.
If you want to be a victim, you're going to tell yourself that you are subject to circumstances out of your control, like you were touching on. So how can we address language in many different ways to get in control, to put yourself in a place where you can make decisions confidently, where you can eliminate second guessing, where you can breathe easier in stressful situations? It's all about the awareness and then making choices on how to get there.
Yeah. No, that's good. Language is really powerful. I have a lot of other questions I want to ask you, but I also, you know, like, this is your job. I don't want to take all your advice and give it to people for free. So I think I might leave that for people to follow up with you, and then I might follow up with you afterwards. But I do want to ask one more question before we kind of get to the central conversation for the podcast. And that's like, when you think about all the different things you could be doing to coach people, like, you could be coaching their physical body, you could be coaching their emotions, which is kind of tied up into mindset, but instead you chose mindset. Like, was there a moment in your life where mindset became kind of the thing that you are pursuing at the level that you are?
Oh man. I've been really fortunate to be a part of really successful teams, successful organizations. And what I'm really looking back on and like why I'm choosing to do this now is a series of events. Like thinking all the way back to when I was in seventh grade, I made a choice to leave my hometown to pursue hockey, ice hockey at a higher level than was necessarily available. And that led to me having to leave school early and somewhat felt like I abandoned my friends that I grew up with and did everything with. And I realized really quickly that I made this decision that if I let these other people's perceptions of what I'm doing dictate how I'm going to feel, I'm not going to have a good time or I'm not going to progress. So like all the way back to that point in my life, I was bringing awareness to things are always going to be difficult. They're always going to present themselves in a way that you maybe haven't crossed yet. However, we can always look back and go, okay, I've done something similar. So building from that experience, like, all right, I lost my friend group. That's tough being 13 years old.
Right.
To then I chose to leave my hometown to go to a different high school to pursue higher academics and get pushed really hard in directions of sports and leadership. And I was going into a situation where I knew no one. And that was a difficult time as well. It's like, okay, it's not necessarily sink or swim, but it's choosing the direction I want to swim. Mm-hmm. So I'm always going to do something. I'm always going to act, but it's the choice in what direction I want to go. So that's my own reflection, but I've also coached some phenomenal human beings. One that I mentioned earlier, that's now a coach. And those were hands down the most difficult relationships I've ever had because they were so big, so nuanced that I had to be present. I had to be right there with them, guiding them through. These people I'm talking about were really good athletes. It was never hard to get them to do things training.
Yeah.
But it was, how can I be solid for them? How can I be a rock? I've used that word to describe myself in the past. And I know a lot of people I work with, they're like, you're the rock that I need to just crash waves against. Mm. And the more I look into that, it's like, I'm going to put out a really solid energy. I'm going to be that rock for someone. And then eventually when they've decided that lesson is going to be learned, they get to be the rock for someone else. So the mindset is understanding there's energy that I have that I can give to the people around me. And then they get to either take it for themselves, change it, and then keep moving that energy forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Super meaningful work, it sounds like, right? It's not like you coach someone's physical body and we like to tie it all together to how you learn all these things for the rest of your life. But like mindset truly is fully integrated human. Like you can't separate it. I mean, I guess you could try, but reality is you learn mindset in one pursuit and it changes your mindset in, you know, everything else that you're doing. Like you can't just like totally compartmentalize mindset lessons. At least I don't think so. You might be able to tell me I'm wrong, but it seems like you can.
Yeah. There's stages to it. There's definitely stages to it. One thing that I was thinking of is when I'm like building mindset with someone, and this goes back to my own podcast name, As Above, So Below, is an idea of correspondence. Anything that I'm thinking, my body's going to inhabit. And vice versa, whatever I sense from my environment, I can pick up vibrations and energy from other people. I feel that and sense it. That then becomes how I see the world. So having that idea back and forth, like if I have awareness of my thoughts, my language, I then can create a body that I want. And vice versa, I can create the mind that I want by putting in work and putting in and putting out work through my body.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, you answered one of my questions I was going to ask you later. So, I was curious the tie to the title. All right. I'm going to transition us a little bit. Cause I want to get into your story some more. And, the central question of the podcast is, what's the hardest thing in your life you wouldn't take back? And then the subsequent question to that is why? So for you, Gunner, what's the hardest thing in your life you wouldn't take back?
If you enjoy the podcast, please do us a favor and head to your favorite podcast platform and leave us a review. It helps a ton. And there's a reason all the podcasts you listen to ask you to do this. We want to continue to encourage people in the middle of their difficult seasons, and your ratings help boost our podcast visibility and the stories of our guests. Did you pause it and leave a review? If so, thank you. All right, back to our conversation.
Man, so in thinking about this question beforehand, a couple different moments flashed across my eyes. And the one I'm wanting to talk about today is before my senior year of high school. I was already on a successful hockey team, playing baseball, soccer, had just a really full life at that point. School was going well. And I was working, it's almost 10 years ago now. So June 12th, 2022, I was working one morning mowing lawns.
Hold on, 2022 or 2012?
2012, excuse me. Okay, yeah, okay. So 10 years this year.
Yeah.
And I got called in the night before to mow some lawns for the job that I was doing. And it was a moment of, okay, I can go do this, earn a little bit of money, or the thing that I was supposed to be doing was scheduled to go train and prepare myself for sports. So I go to my job. It's early morning, sunny day, but there's still a fresh dew on the grass. I was behind a push mower, and I understand if someone's listening to this, I've told this story in different contexts, but if you're squeamish, you might want to sit down for a second. I went up a hill, turned to the right, and as soon as I planted my foot, I slipped. And my right foot slid underneath the lawnmower and got hit by the blade twice. And I was by myself in the area that I was in. I fell down into this ravine. The blade hit me in the bottom of my foot twice, hit the shoe that I was wearing, and I immediately knew this changes everything. It's going to change how I move the rest of my life, how everything. I was able to stay with it long enough to call someone to pick me up. And the irony of the story is I called the person I was working for, who's my brother's godfather, and he was actually at the hospital having rehab sessions on his own foot.
Like, oh, wow.
It was just a crazy coincidence of timing. So I hop up out of the ravine on one leg. The shoe's still on. I don't know what the damage is. I'm not in a place to look at it myself. I end up getting rushed to the hospital by my family friend, and my grandpa happened to be working at the hospital that day. So he was able to come down. He wheeled me into the ER. I'm sitting there just white as can be, white as a sheet, shaking because what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And I also have a lot of trauma at the lower end of my body. So I'm sitting there in the ER. They come in, clip my shoes off, or clip the one shoe off that was hit. They have to cut the sock off because it's covered in blood. And what I see looking down is my big toe and my second toe are split apart like your hand would open up your thumb and your index finger. And there's just flesh exposed in a V. And at the same time, my second toe was fully inverted, a 90-degree bend, and yeah, it gives you chills. It gives me chills to this day.
Dude, and for real.
The ER doctor immediately goes, all right, we're going to reset this. So they take my second toe. I have no painkillers, no nothing. I'm just staring at my foot, sitting on the bed, and boom, puts it back into place. And like terrible pain, but I was already in a state of shock that it like didn't phase me at all. It was just, you know, staring full on. So this is where the story kind of gets wild, is they call in a doctor to do the surgery, emergency surgery. They sedate me, I go under, and I think it was like 3.5 hours later, I come back to, you know, awareness of my surroundings.
Yeah.
My mom and dad are there. The doctor's there. I think my grandpa was still in the area. And the doctor goes to me and my parents, he goes, "This is the luckiest trauma he's ever seen." And in that, the blade never actually hit my foot. It was just the pressure of it swinging that blew my soft tissue apart and spun that toe around. And I'm getting a little like shaky retelling it, but
dude, that's wild that just the pressure did that.
Yeah. So the kind of the crazy just whole situation is like, my mom is a health and safety professional. So like she does trainings on safety and trainings on, you know, how to triage and do all this stuff. My dad is a firefighter, and so was the family friend. And we're getting this news only to find out at the same time that the doctor who is on call that day to do my surgery wrote 2 master's theses on acute lawnmower injuries to youth feet.
What?
So he was literally the expert in North America.
Probably the world. How many people have written that specific topic? Yeah.
So
that's insane.
I get all this news, and the doctor's awareness, just being that much of an expert, he just goes, "Nothing. The only toe that broke was my second toe that had been twisted." He's like, you literally had the width of a sock from your foot getting cut off. That was the difference. And it came down to the shoe that I had on was just thick enough that it, you know, the speed of it.
Yeah.
So as this story, you know, progresses, he lets us know, like, you know, I've seen hundreds, if not thousands, of these incidences in his studies. And he cleaned the wound, pulled my foot back together, and then wrapped it. No stitches, no nothing. And I was off my feet for like 3.5 weeks before the checkup. And take a second, like got to a point where he's like, "Yeah, you are literally a sock's width between having a foot and not having a foot," and literally meaning your entire life changed.
Yeah.
Coming back to the idea that like I played hockey my whole life, I was able to put my foot back in a skate boot because it was firm enough before I could actually start walking. So I didn't get to play soccer that fall. This was again in June. So I was, you know, like through middle of the summer before my senior year of high school, thinking nothing will ever be the same.
Yeah.
And in that process of just sitting with it, and I think this is important too, now that I, you know, coach mindset and coach athletes, is be comfortable sitting with things that suck.
Yeah.
And the more you allow yourself to be there, you get to paint this picture of how am I going to come out from this?
Mm.
So I made it my mission for that next season, next year, to do everything I could to be the fittest going into my season, to be the strongest athlete I could be going into my season, to be the best student I could be, to be all of these things that I thought I was doing really well at that point. But double down, do it even better. Like coming back to the mantra, I am Gunner. I want to be all of these things.
Yeah.
And to look back 10 years ago now, I've competed in CrossFit in France, in Canada, in US, all over the place. I've run a 10-mile race. I've done all these things. And I also played hockey in college. Like that allowed me to just keep progressing, knowing like it is my choice how I'm going to get past this.
Yeah.
I still deal with some things today, like just the joints in my foot are, you know, have a little more scar tissue.
Yeah.
So I have to be extra diligent on mobility and making sure that my foot and ankle are moving well. Otherwise, everything up chain is affected.
Totally.
Yeah. So there's the traumatic story for you. It was terrifying for, you know, as long as I didn't know if it was going to make it or not.
Yeah. So was the point where you were like able to breathe and trust that it wasn't your worst fears when the doctor told you, hey, this is my specialty and this is what I think? Or was it, you know, when you were able to put the skate on, like what was the moment where you were able to fully trust that, you know, moving forward was going to be okay and the fears you had kind of subsided?
It's multifold there. I was still in a fog when I got that original news and from the doctor that he had seen this and that it was going to be good.
Yeah.
So it was more the next few weeks having support system around me going, you know, you're going to be healthy. You get to go through this. It sucks now. It's probably going to suck for a few years, depending on, you know, the damage. However, it doesn't mean you're done with everything. So my support system was great. Still is to this day. I'm very fortunate to have parents who have gone through their own, you know, battles and are, you know, very open with sharing to me, like, all right, it's not over. You get to keep progressing. So support system was really big. I went to this hockey camp that I had been going to for a few years before that summer. And that was more so of, okay, I can get back to training. I can skate really hard. I can skate for like 4 hours a day. And this is, you know, 6 weeks after the injury. And I can still go out and do this, you know, gym training. It's just limited on the dorsiflexion of my toes and my ankle at that point. However, it's just like gave me more energy to go after it. The more I realized like, all right, this is difficult. I'm going to face it head on.
Yeah. Yeah. When you named it, it sounds like you were like, okay, now I have a game plan because I know what this is versus kind of feeling like this unknown, uncertain thing, you know, which makes sense in the immediacy of it. But so one of the things you said that was interesting to me was, you know, you came out of it like, I'm going to train even harder. I'm going to be more fit. You were more committed to the things you were pursuing. So like when you think back on like, do you ever wonder if this hadn't happened, what would my life have been like? And maybe even like peel back the curtain a little bit on that mindset mentality that we think we're doing enough, but there's always more that, you know, you realize through this incident, but not all of us have those catalytic moments, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would never wish anything right. That's on someone. I like the point you made there is like, there's more for me to do or give. I like to relate that back to understanding what I want to give, right? Like removing fluff. Like I don't necessarily need to mow lawns. And I honestly, to this day, have not mowed a lawn. And rightfully so.
Yeah. Is that a life goal? Never to mow a lawn again?
It somewhat is. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you ask people really close to me, they're aware of that.
Yeah, totally.
so with that, it's, it eventually got to a point of me going, this happened to me. What were the things before that moment that I no longer need? And letting go of them. And we all create stories. We all create attachment to things, whether we know it or not, but it's bringing awareness to it. Am I doing something that's unnecessary? Because when we can strip those things away and we get really, really focused or put our energy into the foundations of what really matters to us, everything grows.
Yeah.
Right. It's like clearing the weeds in a metaphor there.
Right. Yeah. I was talking to Steve Magnus, the author, and we were having this conversation about like what happens in the season and how when the hard moment comes, when you're in the valley, all the voices in your life that are competing for your attention and time, like just they disappear. Everything gets like level set. And then you get to decide what gets a voice like coming out of that season. And it sounds like what you're describing, right? Like, okay, everything's level set. You get an audit of your situation and your surroundings and like this thing gets a voice. This thing gets my effort and energy and attention. But this mowing lawns stuff, no more voice, you know? And back to that question of, you know, you look back on your life, this had this not happened. Do you wonder, like, do you ever think about the things that would have gotten voice in your life that maybe, you know, didn't and changed the trajectory, so to speak?
Yeah, I would have played soccer my senior year fall. And soccer was always something that I did for fun. It was never the sport that I was like fully invested in being highly competitive, even though it allowed me to train and be in really good shape. It allowed me to, work with different people. So I ended up not playing soccer, and that gave me more time to invest into my education. It gave me more time to train specifically to get back for hockey. So in that, like those things changed. I believe there's fate, and I like to continue the story on. I went to school, played college hockey for 2 years. I started as a mechanical engineer, and I went nuts. My first, I had an internship where I just sat behind a computer drawing lines on a computer, and that's valuable work. It does create change. However, I knew right then, like my biggest impact is being in person, being with someone. So I eventually shifted. I went to one school doing mechanical engineering. The next year I went to a different school and studied physics and was, you know, still thinking I'm going to go create some mechanical product. And I ended up retiring from hockey and 2 weeks later started CrossFit because I got fed up with one, like politics being on a team and not getting to choose my own effort.
Yeah.
Right. Like I didn't get the opportunities that I wanted, that I thought I deserved. And now I'm as an individual athlete, I do have the choice on how far I go.
Mm-hmm.
So having those different moments of like, all right, this injury led me to double down on my own training, double down on what I'm wanting to focus on. And then, you know, extrapolate out a year and a half, 2 years to going, I cannot sit here. I'm meant to do something different. I'm meant to move my body. I'm meant to influence others one-on-one. And I felt that sensation right away. Like I am drawn to helping others. And the only way I can help others is if I'm serving myself fully. And it has to go in the order of, I take care of myself and I take care of others from there.
Yeah. It's like a cup overflowing, right? Like
100%.
Can't, you got nothing to pour out if you're empty.
Yep.
So let's talk about helping others for a second. And what, for somebody who's in the middle of their own hard season right now, maybe they are dealing with an injury. Maybe they have an uncertain future. Maybe they just don't know what to quit and to be able to put their effort in the right thing. Like, what advice do you have for a person who's just in it right now?
Depending on where you are, this may sound a little too light or it might sound perfect, is start by taking a breath and intentionally taking a breath, because in that moment you get to create space, and that space is for yourself. It's for your thoughts. You can start to write down your thoughts when you take that breath and see them for what they are. So in that, hard seasons will continually come at you because you've trained yourself to withstand them in a positive light of, you can take on more every time you accomplish something. So taking that breath, creating space for yourself. And then if you have negative thoughts, write them out so you can see it. And then you can give it a name. That's someone else telling me that. This is not what I want. This is someone else. And you can then start to differentiate, right? Like, peel those layers and focus on what you want. And for me, it starts and ends with the breath. Be present with your breath.
Do you think that hard things become easier the more you go through them?
Yes, when you're practicing awareness and mindfulness. And the equation I use with the people I coach is, create awareness, add discernment, you're at mindfulness. So awareness plus discernment equals mindfulness. And we want to be in that mindful place often. And then there's also opportunities like in sports or in business or, you know, creating something where you just want to shut your mind off and let it happen. So to answer the question a long way, things can get easier if you're practicing awareness and discernment.
Yeah.
Things can feel more difficult when you're not paying attention.
That's really good. Yeah. And I'm curious, like, on my own, for my own self, and I think for people listening, because awareness, it's like, okay, create awareness. And you're talking about taking these breaths, and like, our culture, and you know, it's magnified in different places, like Tennessee, the South, some of these places, it's, the culture is a little slower. But at large, the American culture is like fast, quick, we, you know, short attention spans, and it's pushing against awareness a lot of the time. So do you have like maybe two or three, and I'm not gonna let you use breath again, two or three tips on creating awareness that are beyond like just that taking a breath?
Get aware of your space, right? Your environment is a reflection of the energy that you currently have or will have in the future. I love the act of clean your house. And that's a metaphor, but it's also very real, very realistic. Like, all right, if I have things that are not in place, I feel relieved when I put them in the right place.
Yeah, totally.
And I know this is something I'm always working on, right? So to go back to the equation, awareness plus discernment equals mindfulness. Mindfulness is not a destination. It's a practice. And you can always be in that practice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. So, and I love the formula. Yeah. We as a business just did this because we had a whole bunch of people in our offices, in our warehouse. And the impact is like, well, one, I didn't realize how disordered and out of place things were. Right. And like just this awareness of the mess or the current state that you didn't even realize existed. And then two, feeling in control of your environment, like, is really empowering. And like, if I'm in control of this, I have a great foundation for whatever else I need to be in control of. And that's like a really simple example, but to your point, like, cleaning your house sounds simple, but that can have a great impact.
Yeah. And it goes beyond the house. Like, the house is a metaphor of everything that we have. If that means you need to get a car wash, like, you will feel better when you have a nice clean car, right? You get to present a clean car. That's the same idea. It goes clean your house, put things in the place that you want them to be. Maybe it's you like art. You put something on the wall that inspires you. And in the same way, it's you're putting intention or discernment. I think they're synonymous. You're putting that in. That reflects back. I like this on the wall. It makes me feel good. I'm then going to carry that forward.
Well, I love the formula. It's easy to remember and I think is really helpful for people because mindfulness feels really big and it feels really complicated and hard to obtain. And, you know, if you can break it down into, I just need to be aware. And then from my awareness, I need to discern, have wisdom. You know, it's like, okay, I can take those two steps and then trust the outcome will be for my benefit. So thanks for sharing that. I'm sure that'll help me a great deal too. So the last question for you as we wrap up and I ask everybody this is, and you even said this a minute or two ago, is like, you're always going to have hard things. And, you know, sometimes we seek them out. Sometimes they come to us. But what's a hard thing that you're in the middle of right now?
Oh, man. That's a big list, right? There's
many hard things. You just have to pick one.
That I'm choosing to do. Hard thing is social media. And I intentionally picking that one because it's a medium that I use to one market myself and put out these lessons that I hope to have. So in a way, podcast is a social media. Yeah. Instagram, Facebook, whatever platform you're on. I am working on catching myself using it not for the intention of putting things out, just absorbing all of these moments, all this information that, again, has no meaning. Can I cut that fluff? Yes.
Yeah.
I can. How does that practice look? So first bring that awareness. It's nice to have a girlfriend who is also on that journey, right? Like we all go through it in a way. If we're participating in it, there's an easy fall into the trap. And I know that's kind of like a heavy metaphor that it's a trap. However, we can definitely get ourselves out of it by seeing what we're doing on that. So I love social media. It's allowed me to express my writing to many people and it's allowed me to share these lessons and find people who want mindset work. So finding that balance with social media is something that I'm constantly working on.
Yeah.
Am I using it for an intended purpose or am I being mindless, right? Mindful.
Right. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. I go through that all the time, just even in our business context, like, and my wife and I talk about it all the time at home and, you know, with little kids, you have to be really intentional with your time. Otherwise it, you know, is gone quickly. And social media is probably the number one culprit for between like YouTube and Instagram and all those like just videos and stuff. It's easy to be like, oh man, I'm supposed to be going to bed right now. And like, what did I just do for the last 2 hours? So,
yeah, absolutely. Totally. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing. Hey man, so Gunnar, for people who, you know, are really intrigued by what you're talking about with mindfulness, maybe they were looking for a mindfulness coach. Maybe they just want to ask you some more questions about your story. Like how can people get in touch with you and follow what you're doing?
Yeah. Thank you. I'm first, I'm on Instagram. I have my coaching page. It's called @AnimusCoach, A-N-I-M-U-S coach. And my personal page is @GunnarRegan, all lowercase. I think that's how they show up. And I also have my own podcast called As Above, So Below, which is talking about these concepts and how we apply them. A lot of the episodes that are out already are with one of my good friends who's a coach. And we're really keen on sharing these stories because one, bringing awareness to your own story is super powerful. But when you can relate to others, you realize maybe this isn't as big of a challenge as it is, that I've already made it out into my own head. So Instagram, my podcast, As Above, So Below, are the best ways to find me.
Love it, man. Thanks for sharing your story. It was a little cringy at times, but such a like compelling story of you know, what came from it. And you know, it's fun to hear you share it and even still feel the emotion of it a little bit. Like,
oh yeah,
that just really like brings to light how intense it was for you in that season. So thanks for being willing to share it. And I'm sure our audience will be encouraged that good came from it at the end of the day.
So, yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. We hope you are encouraged today and have a newfound hope to persevere. Be sure to subscribe for more great episodes and conversations. And if you ever want to watch an episode, check out our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/ElitesRS. Have a blessed day.